Hey, welcome to Comic Culture, the champ. No. Let me do that again. Hey.
Rewind.
Welcome to Comic Culture, the radio show that champions the local comic book shop. Broadcasting at 93.3 CFMU, McMaster's award-winning radio station. Podcasting at comicbookdaily.com. I am Walter Duralia, Overstreet Price Guide Advisor.
And I'm Chris Owen, professor at Hamilton's Mohawk College, who's not on cold medication right now.
Yeah, Chris, we got through that seamlessly,
seamlessly.
Like we do every week.
Absolutely, yes. Absolutely.
Chris and I gather here every week on Comic Culture to talk comics.
We talk about industry stuff, and music and movies and
the culture of comic books.
The culture of comics.
Yes. And we enlighten, inform, entertain. We do all those things.
Well, we try.
To the listenership. And we start the week off. Hello, Chris, why am I like this week?
I don't know. You're way off.
The way we start every week on this show, as the loyal listeners will know, is... Chris does the new this week. Chris takes a sampling of comics that are hitting the local comic book shop this week, and he does a little bit of a dissection.
All right. You know what? Let me just take over here for a second.
Hold on.
I know you got a sponsor.
I know I have a sponsor, and this week's sponsor is brought to us by... They're back because I guess we really... pay dividends for
we
them
did.
Before
yeah.
is the Sapporo Club Soda.
Sapporo Club Soda.
Yeah, the Club Soda from the Far East.
Ah, well, they do good work out there.
They do.
Yeah.
Support Sapporo Club Soda.
All right, listen. As Walt said, we're going to talk about some new comics hitting the newsstands. And then later on in the show, we are going to talk about Free Comic Book Day, which also occurred this last weekend. And so there's some not just new comics on today, not new comics last week, new comics on the weekend too. What other time of year do you get to have new comics? Basically, you know, three times in 5 days.
Never.
Yeah.
Yeah. Except that one time a year.
Except that one time.
That magical time.
It really is a magical time. Mm-hmm. It's the most wonderful
magical time of the year.
All right, listen. First up, we've got Justice League No Justice. And you know what? Here's a book that I'm actually very interested in reading. And I'll tell you why.
Why?
Because... Scott Snyder is writing it, along with James Tynion IV and Joshua Williamson.
James Tynion IV?
James Tynion IV.
Do you think he knows Thurston Howell III?
Lovey.
I
don't know. That's a good question. But also, the art is done by one of our local friends here.
Art Beldazar.
No. Francis Manapul.
Oh, I love Francis Manapul.
Francis Manapul is doing the art for this one. And you know what? It looks awesome. Like it gets you right going right away. It's got the Green Lanterns. It's got Brainiac, Flash, Wonder Woman.
Whoa, overload, Chris. Overload.
I'm getting all verklempt here. I don't even know what to say here. It's got everybody in it. Anyways, I think one of the reasons why I'm most excited about it is I do like Scott Snyder's writing, and so I know he's a great writer. So, and I've been looking for a good Justice League book for a long time, and I think this just might be it.
Justice League, No Justice.
No Justice
is out. Number one out of four is at your local comic book shop today, so check that out for sure.
All right, next up, we've got... do I have any other DC books here? Let me just take a quick look at my list here.
Have a quick look.
Nope, that's it. So next up, we've got The Incredible Hulk number 716. Now, this is World War Hulk 2. So I like this because this is still by Greg Pak, who was the brainchild behind the last World War Hulk. So I am excited about this.
Right.
So Greg Pak is doing this one with... I'm gonna totally butcher this name. Marco Lorenzana, I think his name
Perfect.
Is.
Perfect. That's the way his mama called him.
Yeah, well, I don't know about that, but...
Hey, Marco Lorenzana! Vieni qua, vieni qua!
What if it's Spanish? I don't know. I'm terrible.
I'm just assuming it's Italian.
No, you know what happens when we assume things.
Yeah,
but,
I do.
Listen, this one, it's great. And what I like about this, they're going back to
Chris,
Hulk.
What do you like about
They're going back to Hulk-heavy comics.
Hulk-heavy.
You know, I know that you're going to say...
As opposed to Banner-heavy.
Well, exactly, yeah. Right? You know, there was a
Where
time...
Where it's all like plot development.
It's all plot
crap
development
like that.
And it's a lot of Banner-ish and stuff.
Yeah, a lot of Banner banter.
Exactly. You know what? When I buy a Hulk comic, I want to see Hulk.
I want to see Hulk.
If I wanted to buy a Banner comic, I'd buy a Banner comic.
That's right.
But there's a reason why there's no such thing.
Ah, right? Good point. See, exactly. Hey, you know what I like about this book, Chris?
What's that?
Other than the fact that it's a good looking book.
It is a good looking book.
Is another Canadian fella, Greg Land.
I don't think he's Canadian.
Oh, another
great artist.
Great artist named Greg Land did the cover. Great cover.
Great cover.
Maybe Fernando Venezuela is Canadian.
He might be.
Lorenzo Lamas.
Venezuela? Lorenzo Lamas.
Whatever.
Yeah, I think he's Canadian.
Yeah, okay. Good.
But you know what? Either way, they should be Canadian.
Right.
Yeah.
They're honorary Canadians on this show right now. Hulk 716 is at your local comic book shop.
Perfect. All right. Now, here's another one that I don't think this guy's Canadian either, but why not?
They're all Canadian today.
They're all Canadian today. And this is a long-awaited book for a lot of people here. And I realize the legacy number is number 166.
Oh.
However, the new issue is number one. It's a new Venom comic coming out by Donnie Cates. And, you know, of course...
Good Canadian kid right there, Donnie Cates.
Canadian king, Donnie Cates, and good Canadian Ryan Stegman. We have no idea if they're Canadian or not. But you know what? The reality is Venom is going to be hot and heavy in the next little while because, of course, they have the Venom movie coming out with Tom Hardy. In October, I believe it is.
My kids, my young fellas, both in their later
young
teens,
fellers.
They love the trailers. They go, oh, man, you got to see the trailers.
Yeah.
So I haven't seen the trailers yet.
It's interesting. Yeah. Of course, they've got the big shot of Venom at the very end.
Uh-huh.
It looks very interesting.
Right.
I'm waiting until I actually see it to make any comment about how I actually feel about
it. Well, you know what? I like Thomas Hardy.
Yeah, I do too. I like him a lot.
I really enjoyed The Mayor of Casterbridge.
What? Mayor of what?
Mayor of Casterbridge.
Yeah, I've heard
that
of
was,
it.
That was a Thomas Hardy novel in the 14th century.
Gil Gerard in that one? listen. This one's great. You know what I like about this particular Venom book? It has a lot of B-list villains in it.
Oh, that's what we need more of.
But you know what? I like reading books about guys like Jack O'Lantern and, you know, all those terrible characters that nobody really cares about anymore. Anyway, because if you're an old guy like
I wonder if in a bar, Chris, all like the B-listers are sitting there having a pint, just griping about the fact that they're B-listers.
Probably.
That Joker got nothing on me.
That's right. Yeah.
No, I don't know.
Yeah,
that's the way I think sometimes.
I think you're right. I think, you know, if they, you know, well, what is, you know, okay, well, Boomerang's sort of a A-lister, I guess, because of the Flash. But
right.
You know, what if it was like Boomerang's cousin?
Right.
You know, like a guy like that. Or Will-O-The-Wisp.
What's
he done lately?
He never got a dinner. That's
right?
What he did.
Exactly.
Hey, Venom number one, Legacy 166, is at your local comic book shop today. So check that out.
All right. Next up. On Hit Parade, we got Medieval Spawn and Witchblade. Medieval Spawn and Witchblade.
Did Chaucer write The Mayor of Casterbridge? Or was it Thomas Hardy?
I think that was William Shakespeare.
That might not. It wasn't Bill. I've got my Englishman all mixed up. So
Longfellow?
I'm sure it was. That's what he kept telling all the ladies.
Wordsworth?
Yeah.
Maybe.
All right. Chris, let's move this along.
I'd really like to. Mm-hmm. I'd really like to. Anyway,
so what are you saying? You're saying that Spawn and Will-O-The-Wisp have a comic?
Spawn. If only that. I would buy that.
Right.
I would buy that in a heartbeat. I'm saying that Spawn and Witchblade. Medieval Spawn and Witchblade are coming together at a theater near you. No, not really, but... there is a comic out here by Brian Haberlin and Brian Holguin. Holguin? With art by Brian Haberlin as well. Interesting looking book. If you like Spawn or if you like Witchblade, maybe this is the book for you.
Do all the Spawns in the history of Spawn have the same looking cover?
Pretty much. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not just me then.
No.
Okay. Hey, Medieval Spawn and Witchblade number one from Image is at your local comic book shop today. So check that out.
Yeah. All right. So next up and last one we're going to talk about here today. This is a cute looking book here.
It's a cute looking book.
I don't say that very often.
No, that's a new one.
A cute book. Mm-hmm. We got Jim Henson.
Jim Henson and his henchmen.
Jim Henson's mm-hmm. Fraggle Rock. You know what? I got to say, the art looks amazing.
Chris, yeah. I got to stop you there. Let me ask you a question.
Ask me.
Now, Jim Henson.
Yeah.
Okay, you know how he was a master of puppets and stuff.
Absolutely.
And he died 20 years ago?
Yeah.
Okay. My point is this. I don't even know if I have a point, but
what
I'll
is
say
your point?
It anyway.
Go ahead.
Like, who, like, is Jim Henson a household name?
It's got to be. He's got
to
be.
No, I don't think it is.
Not anymore, you don't think?
I don't think he ever was.
Same as it ever was.
Yes, yeah, but boom, boom, boom.
So you
but
don't
my
think
point
so?
Is my point is everybody loved the Muppets.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Henson's Muppets. I don't think anybody resonated the fact that it was Jim Henson's Muppets. So my point is this on that thing there, what's it called again?
Fraggle Rock.
Fraggle Rock. Like, does anybody know? Does anybody associate Jim Henson with quality to, enough to buy Fraggle Rock?
Okay.
Like, if you did Stan Lee's or Frank Frazetta's or...
I would love to see Frank Frazetta's Fraggle Rock.
But, you know, I don't mean Fraggle Rock. I mean whatever property it's associated with.
I want to see each of the Fraggles as a death dealer.
Yes. Wouldn't that be cool? I don't know. My point is Jim Henson. I don't know if his brand awareness to the name Jim Henson is worth putting on a cover. I mean, the man died years ago.
You might be right. You might be right. I'm gonna give some of that to you. I'm gonna say you might be right. It doesn't hurt though.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't hurt the book by having it calling it Jim Henson's Fraggle Rock. I think that the Jim Henson Company is huge,
uh-huh.
and they're still making Muppets stuff.
I don't think anybody younger than 40 knows who Jim Henson
is. Oh,
younger than 30.
I think they know who the Muppets are though. Sesame Street?
Not Jim Henson.
Yeah, but Sesame Street and all that
kind of
stuff.
Okay, but why have Jim Henson on the flipping cover is my point.
Okay, you know... you're right.
Because I'm
you're
enjoying...
Right.
I'm really
right.
enjoying
you're
the
right.
Sapporo Club Soda.
You're right.
It's really, really
All I'm going to say is beyond, above and beyond all that,
mm-hmm.
your old man-ishness.
Old man.
Old man Walt. I'm going to say that it's a great looking book.
It's a great
not just a
book.
Good looking book. This is a great looking book. If you look at it's all painted and it's all painted very well. I love the watercolors to it. I think it's a great looking book.
You know, the females on this cover and in this book thus would be painted ladies.
Yes.
That's just a thought. Hey, Jim Henson's Fraggle Rock, number 1 of 4. By Jared Cullum. Yeah, Jared Cullum.
Cullum.
Is available at your local comic book shop today, so check that out. Hey, Chris has just given us a small sampling of the comics that are available at your local comic book shop today. Please rush in and check out the new this week.
All right, we're going to play some more Spider-Man music here. So listen on up. This is an all Spider-Man Krantz hour.
Mm. Boys from Toronto.
Well, strike!
Oh, that is Jesus Chris.
Did you like that?
I think that was scooped right out of the episode.
Pretty much.
I love it. I think we're on to something new and exciting.
Yeah, there you go.
Hey, listen. What's this called?
Comic Culture.
Comic Culture, yeah. Comic Culture's next segment is called Industry News, and Industry News is brought to you by Bushmills Single Malt Club Soda. Straight from the hills of Ireland.
Ah.
Aye, top of the morning to you.
Top of the morning to
a
you.
A little club soda for you.
A little Irish club soda.
Aye. Yeah. Oh, that was my I didn't know how to do an Irish. Sorry, I did a Popeye laugh.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
Okay.
All right, listen.
Anyway.
Hey, what are we talking about? Let's talk about
Free Comic Book Day.
Free Comic Book Day. All right. So you chastised me for not being at your store already. So
yeah.
I said I was here. I just didn't see me.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Right. Oh, you were one of those cosplayers.
I was one of the furry costume, just as Sylvester.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. Did you make it to any comic book show?
I did not. Not on the Saturday. I went to a rival store of yours on the Sunday.
Oh.
Only because they didn't have a whole lot of time. Just because I wanted to check things out.
I understand.
But I went on Sunday. Right. You don't need me here, anyways.
Yeah, I don't. I just needed a little bit of extra work.
That's true.
Anyway, I'm glad. The day is over because it's a lot of work for all comic book shops.
Sure.
I'm glad the weather participated in Southern Ontario. We had a really good, really busy day.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. I don't know, a topic of discussion today would be obviously, does Free Comic Book Day hold the weight that it did?
Is it working?
Yeah, let's say I think maybe the apex of Free Comic Book Days when they actually became an important industry event was, I'm going to say, what's your guess? Maybe 7 years ago.
Okay, yeah.
And now they become this kind of, they become an open house for your local comic book
shop, right?
You got it.
But you know what? Okay, let me ask you something.
Ask me.
Is it because it's, as I mentioned earlier in the old Talking Head song, same as it ever was.
Mm-hmm.
Same as it ever was. People come in, they pick up their free comics, and then they might get an extra book or two, and then they leave.
Yeah.
Like, what do you think it needs to take another step beyond what it already is?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah?
It does. But the problem is, I think the mechanism, the delivery system is correct.
Right.
I think the ideas and the creative have to come from the comic book shops.
Right.
So I think the weight of the day at most free comic book shops lends itself well to that comic book shop perhaps cross-promoting and leaning on other businesses to help participate.
Right.
And then maybe you have a room inside for a couple of tables, or maybe you have a tent outside, and maybe you, I don't know how, but you incorporate some, out-of-the-box thinking of, I don't know. I'm still trying to come up with ways. Like this year we always have the Hamilton Public Library
And you always have artists coming.
We always have artists coming. Yeah. This year we had that, remember that magician that, had him back.
The fishing magician.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was fantastic.
Yeah.
And so, he was there for 3 hours. He was pulling
fishes out of his hat.
Oh, he was pulling everything. Yeah, you know what I did, eh, Chris? You know what I did?
What's that?
I took all my expensive books, put them downstairs.
Nice.
Because those guys are really, they're good with their hands.
A little sleight of hand there with that one.
They're
good
with their hands.
Yeah, that's right.
So he was fantastic. And that was just more for, I was afraid that there'd be lineups.
Right.
And so I wanted somebody to preoccupy people in the lines. And there were lineups, but they weren't big.
Right.
We were really busy all day. I would say, though, it was not our busiest free comic book day in terms of people through the door.
Right.
It's difficult. What's the armed forces battleship down in the harbor? HMS Haida?
Something like that.
They reached out and they had like a armed forces comic that they wanted
to
give away for
them.
So we did that and that was well received.
Oh, very cool.
We invited them to come up for like a have a table.
Yeah.
But it was all last
they
minute.
Have, yeah.
Yeah, it was all last minute. And we had artists, like you said. What do you call them? Oxford Learning Centers.
Yeah, yeah.
Because a lot of families come in.
Well, it seems like stores. I mean, so people, it's almost become too commonplace now.
Mm-hmm.
Every May, first weekend of May, people come by, get their free comics.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like you need to, not you, but something else needs to start up. Like, why don't have like the toy people come in and give free toy day, or why don't have something else happening on that day in conjunction with free comic book day, so that can something else can happen.
Yeah, it definitely, it seems like the day is a great day, it just needs some sort of push,
right?
A renewed purpose.
Right.
You know, it's like the 13th, 14th one already. I don't want to say it's grown stale, but it may be grown stale.
Well, it's getting there.
Yeah.
It's getting
there. And I think, but I think the premise and the promise are there for that day. I think it just needs to be massaged from an individual comic book shop's perspective.
But you know, here's what I'm going to say about the Free Comic Book Day. So I didn't get a chance to go to your store, but I saw the free comics.
Uh-huh.
I think the publishers need to step it up a notch.
Right. I think Marvel came to the plate.
Crapped the bed.
Yeah.
On this one, yeah, I saw the. You know, I saw the DC Nation comic that was supposed to be a free comic book day, but instead they decided to charge 25 cents for it.
Right.
And then there was the DC Girls one that was like half the size of an actual comic book.
Exactly.
And so, you know what? What are you doing? Come on.
Yeah.
Come on, DC. Yeah. You're doing good now, right? Like, let's step it up a notch.
Yeah.
Let's get some original content that is actually going to, you know, mean something and publish it to get people interested in this stuff.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. But what you're... it's funny. You and I were chit-chatting. You asked me before the show, hey, well, how'd Free Comic Book Day go? And I filled you in. And I thought it was a good day. And I thought it was positive. And I thought we could move forward from it. And then you go, hey... did you sell any of yours on eBay? and I go, what do you mean? Well, and then you hit me with this, like, well, some guys were throwing their stuff.
So oddly enough, now this stuff is meant to be free.
Yes.
But immediately I was on the internet recently,
mm-hmm.
and I think it was Bleeding Cool. And I see that all of a sudden now there's a list of all these free comics that came out on Free Comic Book Day that are now up on eBay and selling for, I'm not going to say big bucks.
Yeah.
But you know what? $10 for a comic that you got for free.
That's nuts.
That's crazy.
That's
so
nuts.
You know, Tokyo Pop had a Nightmare Before Christmas manga version.
Uh-huh.
So I think what happened is that you have a strong culture of fans out there who, say for example, love Nightmare Before Christmas, and they didn't know that this was going to be a free comic book day. Free comic book day.
Right.
So now all of a sudden it comes out and it's like this mad frenzy to get a copy of it because I gotta have everything Nightmare Before Christmas.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. Well, also too, your local comic book shop will. You know, we sit down and I don't know when it is, January, Chris,
something
maybe
like
February.
That, yeah.
And we sit down and go, oh, okay, what are we going to order? I don't know. Let's order a million Spider-Mans and a million Batmans and, that Nightmare Before Christmas. What kind of products do they have ongoing? Not very many. Let's order 50 of those.
Let's order 10 of those.
10 of those,
yeah.
Right?
Nobody will want that.
And they have a 55-cent price point.
Yeah.
Oh, crap, I got to give them away?
Yeah.
You know, the other ones may have a 35-cent price point,
right? Yeah, because really, even though it's called Free Comic Book Day, the stores still pay for them.
We pay for them, right.
Right.
So it's like, so every comic shop may get very little Nightmare Before Christmas.
So
when a Nightmare Before Christmas fan goes to their local comic book shop, even if they can get to one, there may not be any Nightmare Before Christmas there.
Right.
It's like, crap, I want that.
So you get $10 for Nightmare Before Christmas, $8 for Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. And here is the next one I thought was kind of interesting. So $7 on eBay for a Doctor Who comic. Now, but here's the thing. It's featuring the first comics appearance of the 13th Doctor. So if, in fact, you're a fan of Doctor Who and a fan of comics and you want the first appearance of these characters, now all of a sudden you got to get that one because that's the official first appearance.
Absolutely right.
You know, and then if you're Bongo Comics, which does the Simpsons comics and Bob's Burgers, now all of a sudden they're $6.50 on the internet.
I know.
So there's
Chris, $6 for Star Wars Adventures from IDW?
Crazy.
My goodness.
Crazy.
Yeah, that's huge.
Not the only one. Like, there's even Avengers Captain America from Marvel, $6.
Uh-huh.
Street Fighter, $6.
Amazing Spider-Man, $5. I think I have like 600 of those left.
Why don't you put them on eBay?
Maybe
you get $30,000 for
My
them or whatever.
Goodness,
it is.
Eh?
Yeah. It's crazy.
Wow. Well, that's amazing.
So, anyways, the list goes down and down and down. But the interesting thing about all this is that these so-called free comics aren't free anymore because people are speculating and putting them up on eBay and getting lots of money. Now, I can't imagine this is going to last. I don't think this can possibly sustain itself. I think this is something that people are panicking and they're frantic and they want to get it right away.
Yeah, yeah. They may not have, they may have been working that day, yeah. They may have whatever, but they really wanted it. And it's a lot of diminishing returns. Your first one sold for six, the second one for eight, four, and the third one for two. And then everybody else now says, ah, crap, I'm only getting 70 cents. It's not worth putting them up. And then they disappear.
That's right. That's so, right. Yeah.
Wow. That is amazing. So anyway, Free Comic Book Day as a critique, still a great idea, still a great day. It just seems like to me it just needs a new breath of life, and I think that it's not going to come from the Free Comic Book Day people. I think they've done their part.
Yep.
I think that's going to come independently from each shop owner.
That's right. I think so too.
Leveraging that day and that business into the local community.
Yeah, I totally agree.
I think that's where the answer lies.
Totally agree.
Chris, let's talk about this. So this is...
which one are we talking about? Comcast?
Comcast.
Yeah.
So this is scary. So we're all rejoicing and excited a couple of months ago when we heard or we read the news that Marvel bid and their bid got accepted from Fox.
Yeah.
I think it was...
Disney.
Marvel Disney.
Yeah.
To take over all their properties and you know, get their libraries and to Marvel to be able to use Fantastic Four, primarily X-Men.
Yep.
You know, there was a lot of excitement in the comic book community about that thing. But now I'm reading that Comcast, which is the largest cable provider, I guess, in the United States, they're preparing a bid for Fox to counter Disney's bid, which would create a bidding war.
Right. So basically, Disney had offered $52.4 billion.
Yes,
that's with a
B.
$1 billion in Disney stock.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So it's not in cold hard cash.
Well, I mean, stock's pretty liquid.
Okay, but I'm just saying.
Okay.
So. Now, all of a sudden, Comcast has offered to pay $60 billion in cold, hard cash. So that means, so if you're an investor and you've invested into Fox, and now all of a sudden you don't have to go through the hassle of actually selling the Disney stock, you can just take that cold, hard, you can sell your own stock and cold, hard cash. Done.
But what I read, Chris... is this.
What's that?
Is that there's a penalty attached to breaking the Disney thing.
Ah.
So Disney would, Fox would have to pay a penalty for breaking.
Right.
So what's the cost of the break? Is it going to offset the increase in the thing, right? So, and I think this will just make Disney up their bet a little bit. And I for one, hey, you know what would be great?
What's that?
It would be awesome.
What?
If the guys in the boardroom...
Listen, JB.
Look here, JB.
Yeah.
What deal here is going to create the best comics and movies for the customers?
That would be great.
Well, what do you think about that?
Because you know what? Yeah.
Let's just think about our kids and their kids. And let's think about this deal being the best for the end user for their enjoyment.
Right.
That's not going to happen.
You know what kids love? Kids love Mickey Mouse. You know what else kids love? Wolverine. Yeah. Why not have Mickey Mouse dressed as Wolverine?
Yeah. Why not have Mickey Mouse?
You can't do that if the deal doesn't go through.
Right.
Right.
Right. So, anyway, you and I, I'm sure, are rooting for Disney.
Absolutely. 100%.
Because we want to see... Silver Surfer in with Thanos.
You know what? I would love to see Fantastic Four in the next Avengers movie. It's not going to happen because it's not. It's two movies coming out next.
Maybe
year.
Not next, but the one after.
Yeah.
Is now here's the thing.
Here's the thing.
What does this do? You and I are learned men. You and I are comic collectors.
Yes.
What does this do? There's been a run on prices,
right,
and values of key issues like Fantastic Four number one,
right,
X-Men number one. Above and beyond that, though, Chris,
yeah.
a massively key issue would be like Fantastic Four number 5, because that has the first appearance of Doctor Doom.
Right.
So the assumption there is that Marvel Disney ended up with FF properties. They would take Doctor Doom from obscurity and put him back up to that maybe top echelon of villains like that he was.
That he should be.
That he was for the first 20 years of his existence, right?
Almost 30 years.
Yeah. So what happens to all the guys and girls that have been buying FF1s at record prices for the last 2-3 months?
Because they're thinking that all of a sudden Disney's going to...
It's a done deal.
It's
a done deal. And now they're reading, they're going, Comcast is going, oh my God, you know, I just invested $70,000 into a Fantastic Four comic that was worth $35 a year ago.
Yeah.
You know, what have I done?
Right? Well, you know, as you and I have said before, don't invest in comics. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
You can, but, you know...
Don't count
your chickens before...
Before your Marvel Fox deal is signed.
Exactly.
Right? That's, I think, the...
And I understand that these things take time.
Uh-huh.
According to the Marvel website, it was like, you know, 12 to 18 months.
Mm-hmm.
So these things do take a little while to get things finished. But, you know, and I understand if you're... But if you're going to speculate... You have to be prepared to pay the piper.
You have to be prepared to pay the piper. And a listener of the show, a guy named Chris...
that's not me.
He sent me an email saying, hey, well... And you realize, of course, that the values of these X-Men and these Fantastic Four comics, as of right now, are set like the deal's going through.
So 100%.
It's a no-win-lose scenario for... guys investing in Fantastic Four right now as old collectible comics.
Yep.
If you're paying top dollar, well, you're already paying like it's a realized deal.
Yeah.
But if the deal goes south, then you're screwed.
Totally.
You're going to probably see a drop off of, you know, double digit percentage points in the value of your books.
Absolutely.
So that's like you know, you and I, because, you know, we've got our finger
on the pulse.
Of the industry, and you and I will follow this story in the next few weeks and, you know, let everybody know what's going on.
Yeah, no, I hear you. You know, it's, I hope it doesn't, I get it, but I hope Comcast doesn't actually go through with this bit. Anyways, you know what, let's have a quick musical cleanse here, and then we'll come back. I can't guarantee what's going to be on the air here. It's going to be something to do with Spider-Man, but it may be in the middle of a cartoon or something. So we'll just go ahead and play it and see what happens.
I kind
of
like it, Chris. I kind of like it. I like it even more. That's good stuff.
Did you like that?
You know what? You and I are enjoying the actual cartoon as it was going on. What was Spidey? You know when he was going out in the wilderness?
Yeah.
What were his webs attached to?
No idea. It's like he's in the middle of a field all of a sudden.
Yeah,
and somehow he's attached to something.
Yeah, and he's just throwing him up in the middle of, like, up into the air.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
It must have been airplanes.
Exactly. Clouds. Thick clouds.
All right. Hey, Industry News Part 2 is brought to you by, again, Sapporo's fine club soda from the East. The West is the best, they say, but that's not true when it comes to Sapporo Club Soda.
Not at all.
All right, Chris.
Are we talking about that Pages, or what are we talking about this time?
Oh, you had that story. What? I kind of didn't understand the story, and I really wanted to discuss it, so I wanted you to talk to me about it.
Here's the thing.
Here's the thing.
I was perusing them internets today, and you know, I happened to come across a story which is, it's only from April, so it's not an old story. It's a relatively new story. It's on vulture.com, right, which I've never heard of this site before.
Vulture.com.
It has sites about, it's talked about movies and TV and all kinds of stuff. It had the 100 most influential pages of comic in comic book history. So it's not talking about influential comic books, however those are involved, but the pages themselves.
Right.
So it has a great display of 100 pages. So let me just, I'll just read you a little blurb here.
Okay, do that.
So this
do
is
that.
From, this is from,
I kind of like where you're going with this.
So it says the origin story of comic books isn't flashy. No radioactive spider bite, atomic explosion, or shadowy experimented, granted the medium of the sort of ability that would have allowed it to arrive in the 20th century drugstore racks as glossy, fully formed vehicles for sophisticated entertainment. Rather, it took a steady progression over the course of over 75 years of the form to fully understand and then harness its powers. When the first comics arrived on the newsstands in the 1930s, they were a cynical attempt to put old wine in new bottles by reprinting popular newspaper strips, cheaply printed and barely edited. These pamphlets were not what a critic at the time would have called high art. Very true. So what are they talking about here? They're saying, well, these pages, some pages are notable for their written content, some game-changing first appearances, brilliant narrative innovations, and so on. Some are significant because of the artwork, told a story that no one had done so before, and some people were emulated after that, or in some cases, all outright just, you know, copied it.
Yeah.
But all are interesting in their own right, and for different reasons. So there's a few recent comics, but there's a lot of different stuff going on. So the first one, what they do is they do it in a
chronological order. Right.
The first one, I'm going to be honest with you here. I've never even heard of it. Uh-huh. I'm a comic book nerd. It's called God's Man. And this was done as a wood carving. And it was something like 131 pages as a graphic novel by a guy named Lind Ward. And it came out in 1929.
Wow.
It's actually before the first comic book that we really know of.
The first comic book, of course, is 1933.
Right.
Famous Funnies.
This is like a graphic novel that was printed with pictures and words. So it's not a true comic that we know of, but it's interesting in its format, the fact that it had all kinds of pictures. Like, it had a picture with words on every page.
Right.
So, in a sense, it is a graphic novel.
Wow. Okay.
Then, of course, we got Famous Funnies, which wasn't mentioned here, but then we had New Fun, and basically was a reprinting of comic strips again on the cover. So then, you know, I don't want to go too much into this stuff.
Just pick one or two that you like.
Well, I just want to very quickly talk. You know, it has the first appearance of Superman, first appearance of Captain Marvel, Batman, you know, Human Torch. And then it goes into the graphic design of how the Spirit came out. Because the Spirit all of a sudden was coming out at a time when nobody else was drawing the way he was, Will Eisner
was
drawing. So that was certainly his format, his use of logos and imagery and all that. So that was one of the reasons why they did that. And then they got to Gardner Fox with the first team book.
Justice Society.
With the Justice Society of America.
All-Star Comics number 3.
Which also had not only the first team book, but also had the first intercompany crossover.
Oh.
Right? Mm-hmm. So not only was it just the first team, but Justice Society.
Yeah.
They mentioned Captain America because it was the first time somebody had a double-page spread.
Like that a lot, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They mentioned Wonder Woman because it talks a little bit, of course, about bondage and just the themes of bondage.
Uh-huh.
Now, it's funny. In the article, it talks about how, because the page that they picked had three depictions of different types of bondage.
Right.
And then they said, you know, don't think that we just chose this one because it had a whopping three. There are some pages that had, or some books that had like 75 instances in the whole book that had like instances of bondage.
Wow.
But what I really want to talk about here is it's something that I don't know if I'd forgotten about or maybe never knew, but All Negro Comics number 1 in 1947.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting story. So it has Ace Harlem, famed Negro detective, and I think it really brought the black population to the forefront at a time in the 1940s, which I don't,
47, yeah.
which you know I had never seen before,
right?
Which I thought
yeah.
was really interesting. You know, so all of a sudden now we've got the kind of like, I don't want to say the first black superhero, but
Ace Harlem.
But
you get more of a stereotype name, right?
I love it. Yeah. So I thought that was really interesting.
I think 47, I think, might have been the year as well. That isn't 47 the year Jackie Robinson broke the color barrier?
I think you're right.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I think
47.
You're right.
Pivotal year, I guess, in civil rights and stuff.
Now I'm putting you on the spot here.
Uh-huh.
But do you remember when did? When did Lobo come out?
66.
66. Yeah. So this predates it by almost almost 20 years.
Very much so. But he's a detective because prevalent at that time were Private Eye,
right.
Gumshoe,
yeah,
comics,
crime comics, kind of,
right?
Yeah.
So yeah, you wouldn't you'd characterize Ace Harlem as a leading a headliner, a leading man. But you wouldn't characterize him as a hero, like
right.
a superhero.
No, right, right, correct, yeah. right, yeah, so. Yeah, yeah. So I thought that was really interesting,
mm-hmm.
and then I thought in the next one. Now there's 100 different covers, so
uh-huh.
I didn't go through all of them. But the last one I want to talk about is Young Romance number one. This is one of the first romance comics that came out, and of course the page that they show you, it's not only is it interesting in the format, the way they do it, because it has sort of this. Like it's a story being told,
right?
But it also, you know, it's this woman talking about a romance, and the story title is "I Was a Pickup,"
mm-hmm.
right? So she knew she was getting picked up, and it was a romance comic, and
why
fell in love with this guy, and,
hussy,
yeah. But it was also interesting because it was also coming. It also created by the same guys that created Captain America,
mm-hmm.
Jack Kirby and Joe Simon. So
that's right.
They're also
that's right.
in on the romance.
That's right.
Stories.
Now you know what? Like, it's such a here's the thing.
Here's the thing.
This is a great. It's called. Help me out again. What's the website
Vulture,
called?
Vulture Venture. Hold on, let me see here. Yeah. Vulture.com.
Yeah, Vulture.com.
And the article has the 100 most influential pages in comic
right.
book history.
It's such a great, Chris.
I wish I had done it.
Well, it's a great resource. Is my point
yeah.
is because above and okay. Number one, I'll say, the number one driver of value in comic books, the number one driver of value in comic books by far is first appearances.
Right.
The character,
yep.
right? First appearances. But right now, in the day and age we live in right now, with CGC grading, CBCS
yep.
grading,
yep.
Where they're encapsulated, you can't open them up.
Right.
The number two driver by a long distance over number three
yep.
is cover.
Right.
It's how cool the cover is.
Yeah.
Is there bondage on the cover? Is there good girl art on the cover? Is the villain's first appearance on the cover?
Is it gory?
Is it
yeah.
guys, you know, a bullet in the guy's head? You know,
yeah,
is that kind of stuff going on in the cover? What this article is saying is that there are comics that have really, really, really groundbreaking, influential, trend-setting pages inside
yeah.
that change the course and history of comics going forward.
Totally.
They merit some sort of respect.
Right. Oh, 100%.
And I don't know if they're getting it in today's a comic book secondhand, you know, like we're back issue
collecting. I don't think they are, because, but you know, really, this is a great article because it really highlights all that. What I left, you know, we only have so much time to talk about all these, but you know, they had Funny Animal, the first appearance of Funny Animal comics, they had
mm-hmm.
all got, but then they also went into Seduction of the Innocent. They went into, you know, that famous picture of, which was in the comic. Of you know when they're having it like that ice pick that's going towards that person's eye,
mm-hmm.
which you know you're not going to get that on a cover. You know you have that first appearance of Kamala Khan
right.
as Ms. Marvel,
uh-huh.
all that kind of stuff. There's
right.
there's a page in they went to Saga. They went
mm-hmm.
to you know even the Lumberjanes. There was a page
right.
of in the Lumberjanes.
Right. Yeah.
So we're not talking about it's not just stuff that happened 20 years ago, 50 years ago. It's stuff that happened only a few short years ago that is still being relevant today. And I think this is a great exercise for people who are interested in comics and the values of comics to take a look at this site to see what they're saying is important, because it might be the deciding factor in years to come as to what really books are important.
Right, yeah. Because the way we read stories right now, I mean, you look at that, let's say that more fun, the new fun,
yeah.
You know, in the 30s or whatever, I mean, you basically had 9 square panels. You divided them geometrically,
yep.
Or 6 square panels, rectangle panels,
or 12,
or 12, and that's the way you told the story. That was the box, and people worked within the box.
Yep.
And then you had innovators like Eisner who broke that box, who put his character outside into another box, which paved the way for guys like Starenko doing his work in the 60s.
Totally, yeah.
And so it's really interesting to see, you know, what those firsts were. And I don't think it's mapped out. I don't think all those firsts are mapped out. I think these guys have got a good start. But, you know, what's the first time a double panel was used? What's the first time a, you know, like a Cain and Abel type of narrator is used on a page? What's the first time that vehicles and mechanisms that are used every day in comics today, when did they first appear?
Yeah, exactly. You know? Yeah, exactly. You know, that's why I didn't even have time to read it all, but it's a really interesting article. And I have to say, I really recommend going and checking this article out, because if you're interested in comics, and if you're, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say, even if you're interested in speculating in comics, this is probably a good thing to check, because you never know what some of these books may have their finger on the pulse of what could be important comics, not just now, but later on.
I really like this, Chris. I really like this a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, listen, let's have another quick musical interlude here, and we're going to come back to some random Spider-Man stuff here.
We basically got 3 episodes just rolling in the background, and then we just turn up the volume on.
All right, here we go.
Tricked again. Spider-Man!
Right.
Come on, don't turn that off.
All right, I'm getting into it. Yeah, sorry, no. I had to see what the lizard was doing there.
Yeah.
All right, listen. Let's continue on here.
Hey, the final portion of Comic Culture this week is brought to us by Bushmills Single Malt Club Soda.
Club Soda.
A spring in Ireland.
A spring.
I think it was an Irish spring.
We should go swimming in that spring.
Irish spring.
Yeah.
You know what? And
I
heard the ladies like it too. Men, yes.
But I like it too. Remember that old commercial for Irish Spring? That was a long time ago.
Yeah, it was.
They don't do that anymore.
I like that. That was, I like that commercial.
All right, listen, what are we going to talk about? Are we talking about Infinity War?
Let's talk about Infinity War.
All right, so
how many times have you seen it now?
You know what? I've only seen it once so far.
Oh.
I have been meaning to go back a second time to go see it. I loved it. You know, it's already up to...
It's cracked a bill.
It cracked a billion worldwide.
It's past, what is it? Oh my goodness. It's past 450 mil domestic.
Yeah.
Still trying to catch up to Black Panther. It might not even, because Black Panther apparently is going to hit 700 mil domestic.
That's
the third movie to do so ever.
Really?
After Avatar and Force Awakens.
No kidding, eh? Yeah. That's crazy.
That's crazy.
Avatar, really?
Avatar, the first Avatar.
You know, I got a bit of a bone to pick with James Cameron. You know?
What's that?
Well,
he's taking too long with the other Avatars?
Well, not only that, but like he goes online and he talks about how he actually comes out and says, I can't wait for, or he says something, I hope that, that there will be superhero fatigue soon in the movies.
Why would he say that?
And then he goes on to say, because there are other people that have other science fiction stories to tell.
Well, let them tell them.
Well, yeah, you know, if it's that good, bring it on.
Oh, is he saying they can't get financing?
I don't know what he's saying. All I know is it sounds like he's all wah-wah-wah. Bitterman. Because, yeah, Bitterman. He belongs with the John
Bitterman
crowd.
Society. Yeah. Canada.
I think there's two people now.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Yo, hold on here. So what's his name? Cameron Stewart?
James Cameron.
Yeah.
Cameron Stewart. I like that. Yeah.
That's his cousin.
Yeah.
So he's got $1 trillion from his avatar. Yeah. And he's bitching about how the superhero movies are having a good ride.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, because you know what? And he says other people have other science fiction stories to tell. So, you know, I get it. I get what he's saying. But the problem is that these are all science fiction stories in a sense.
Yes.
And you know what? There are other science fiction stories being told. You know, maybe if he came out and actually, you know, brought his Avatar movies out to the forefront. But maybe he's scared. Maybe he's scared to bring his Avatar movies out and then nobody's going to go to it because everybody's going to the superhero movies.
Yeah. Right?
But if they're that, if his movies are that good, then bring it on.
Well, the thing with the superhero movies is this. We saw 5 years ago them saying this.
Yeah.
4 years ago them saying this. Yeah. Michael Keaton famously said it. And then he ended up eating crow and acted as the Vulture in Spider-Man because he was Birdman first. And, you know, it was an anti-hero movie, basically.
Yeah.
And then 3 years ago, they've been saying this. And it's like everybody's been saying. And you know what? The funny part is, Chris, when one does fail, I don't know which one. I hope none of them do. But let's just say Venom.
Yeah.
So, and if it does, you're going to see, oh, it's over.
I told you so.
Like, okay.
It's the end of the superheroes.
It's a big enough genre that movies are going to be judged on the movie and the premise and how good it is, as opposed to just some sort of fad. It's beyond fad now. People are looking for quality. You can make a crappy superhero movie, nobody will go to it. You can make a great superhero movie, everybody will go to it.
That's right, yeah.
And it's a mature genre.
And there have been crappy superhero movies.
Yeah, nobody went to them.
Nobody went to them.
Yeah.
That's why you don't hear about them.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, hey, Fantastic Four 2. Hello.
Fantastic Four 2, Justice League, which I didn't really enjoy.
Exactly.
You know, like, there's lots of them out
there. And post those, we're hit with this Avengers Infinity War.
Yeah, but the thing is, nobody's saying, hey, look at Justice League, and, oh, superhero movies are over.
Right.
Right? Because they know that those are popular characters.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? Now that Warner Brothers is going to bank, basically, their next big one is going to be Aquaman.
Yeah.
That's when people might look at Aquaman and go, oh, here we go.
Right.
Superheroes are over. Nobody cares about them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who cares about a guy that talks to fish?
I think we talked about this before. Aquaman is to DC, in a way, proverbially, symbolically, what Guardians of the Galaxy was to Marvel.
Yeah.
So Marvel took a D-list franchise,
made
a great movie that was fun and everybody loved, and turned it into an A-list franchise.
Totally.
What's his name again?
Which one?
The DC guy in the fish?
Aquaman,
thank you. Aquaman is a D-list character.
Yeah.
And we're hoping that Warner's turns him into an A-list property with a great movie.
I hope so. It'd be great.
And that's basically what it comes down to.
I just don't know if it's going to happen. I'm worried that they're going to, it's going to do poorly, and then it'll be, oh, nobody cares about.
But if it doesn't happen, it's not the end of the world.
I totally.
If it doesn't happen, it's not the end of the world, and that's the case. So hey, I say keep it coming.
I say
what's that song by Casey and the Sunshine Band? Keep it coming, love.
Sure, I don't know if I know that one. Hey, listen, speaking about keeping it coming, just very quickly, running out of time here.
Yep.
We didn't really talk about Action Comics 1000.
Whoa.
A whole lot.
That was good.
That was good.
Well, I mean, for local comic book shops, it was good.
Absolutely. We didn't really talk a whole lot about that.
It was a surprise hit.
Yep.
Everybody wanted some.
Well, yeah, of course. Why wouldn't you, right?
I don't know.
They had like 10 different covers.
Yeah.
I think I bought two of them.
Right.
My favorite one was probably the one. I really liked the one
Kurt Swan one. Homage.
I didn't mind that one. Yeah. I didn't mind the Kurt Swan one. Uh-huh. I hated the Stranko one. That was terrible.
Yeah.
I like the Mike Allred one
right.
a lot.
Yep.
But anyways, so Action Comics 1000 comes out and huge success. And of course, number one book at the retailers, I guess for the month of April, right?
Sure. Yeah, it was. It was for the month of April.
But close on its tails was Amazing Spider-Man number 798 and 799.
Well, that was the
Red Goblin.
And right. that was kind of like a really long time before the Spider-Man franchise introduced a really cool new villain.
Right.
Even though he's not a new villain.
Not technically.
He's a hybrid new villain, yep. but he's still a new villain, yep, yep, right?
Yep.
And so that was well received. I think that did more...
Numbers wise.
Yeah. It's just the other one was $8 US
yeah.
versus $4
yeah,
US,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So, but it's great to see two big books like that do well at local comic book shops.
Absolutely, you know? Absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
And it's hard though for a local comic book shop, Chris, cripe. You have to sit there and guess, okay, there's 10 covers. Gosh.
You know, I know.
I can't afford to have, 600 copies when, only 150 might get bought.
Absolutely.
And so you pick, and then it's always, by the Saturday, it's like, oh, we're out of the Mike Allred cover,
yeah,
and everybody's asking for the Mike Allred cover.
Yeah.
Darn it, I thought they were going to ask for the Starenko cover, and
right?
I ordered more Starenko covers.
Yeah, I know.
Oh,
I get
what
it.
A doofus.
I totally get it.
And that's the way it always goes with these big projects where they have the multiple covers.
Yep.
You can never... ever,
you can't predict.
Ever predict to any kind of certainty which covers will be the ones that
that's right.
people
yeah.
take to.
No, that's right.
right.
I totally agree.
Which is too bad. But it's good. So now we got Chris coming up at the end of May. I think May 30th.
May 30th,
is
yeah.
Another big one. It's the Amazing Spider-Man number 800.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Now, we just recently had Captain America 700.
Right.
Which was a big, nice issue.
Uh-huh.
And I really like that because it had multiple artists involved in that one as well.
Yep.
And then, and now we got Spider-Man 800 coming up.
Yep.
So
We had 1,000 for action. So it's pretty
action.
Cool. It's, what it shows you is people, comic fans, comic practitioners, whatever,
yeah.
they like the symbolism of these special issues. They
totally,
like
totally.
The milestone
yep,
issues. They
yep.
love collecting them. They love having them.
Okay, I'm case in point. I can't remember the last time I bought an Action Comics regular
exactly.
issue.
Exactly.
But I bought 1,000 because it's 1,000.
Chris,
right.
it's the second title to reach 1,000. What was the first title?
Oh, I know what you're going to get. Going to get me on this one. Four Color Comics.
Four Color Comics. You're absolutely right.
Right.
Right. But it's the first title dedicated to basically one
a
hero.
A single hero. Yeah.
That,
so Four Color were books that came
anthology,
out in
yeah,
the 60s.
It came out in the 50s and 60s.
Yeah.
And the reason why Four Color got so there so quickly is Four Color came out weekly.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And they were sequentially numbered.
Right.
Right. All right.
So
Chris,
anyways, we're out of time here.
Yeah, we ran out of time. Hey, Comic Culture, written this week, engineered, produced by Chris Owen. We're on comicbookdaily.com every week. We're also on 93.3 CFMU, McMaster's award-winning radio station every week. We task you to visit your local comic book shop at least once a week. Go in, say hi, check out, and maybe buy something.
Yeah, there you go.
Go out and support your local comic book shop.
And have yourself a great day.